secured that hopefully will kick up a session for anybody that might want to hear any of the responses. And for the record, we have two council members absent, Mr. Jim Lemaster and Mr. Bill Conlon. Our town attorney, Mr. Elder, is present. Ms. Webster, Mr. Amos, and myself, Mr. Rhodes, is all present. And we'll go ahead and start here at 6:05. Go ahead, Mike.
So we're here to talk about, I guess, kind of two pieces of the same project. So Clark Floyd Landfill, Leachate, Pump Station, and Force Main. And then a piece that ties into that having to do with Dean Lake and DNR. So we'll do some introductions on who's here tonight and then get started here. So I'm Mike Harris with Scoby Tunes and Lands. You guys want to go around?
Yeah, I'm Tom Secure with Scoby Tunes and Lands.
Brian Glover, County Commissioner.
Robert Lee, Clark Floyd LLC. And Matt Lee, Clark Floyd LLC.
And Dan Ernst with DNR Division of Forestry.
So I thought what I would do is go through and kind of give a history of the landfill and overview. I know some of you are new on the council, and then get into the history of this project and then what we're looking at moving forward. So just quickly go through the overall history of the landfill. Started in 1970. It's been expanded outward and upward a number of times over the years. I won't read all of those that go down through there. Highlight a couple of facts there. There's just under 550 acres total out of the landfill. 172 of those acres are available for waste placement. And the last expansion of the landfill was approved at IDEM. Last major expansion was approved. In July of 2012 for a vertical expansion, and the current project, not the Leachate project, the current barrier wall project, which we'll talk about in a minute, back in July of 2012. As far as the way the landfill operates contractually, most of the land is owned jointly by Clark and Floyd County. There's a little bit of land that's owned only by Clark County. It's operated by Clark Floyd Landfill LLC under what's called an exclusive franchise agreement with Clark and Floyd Counties. That's Bob Lee's company, Clark Floyd Landfill LLC. There's a number of pieces to the financial picture, some of which you may have heard thrown out at different times. Landfill Improvement Fund, post fee, closure, post closure, the bond debt service. Those are all a part of the financial agreement between the counties and the LLC. And then the operating permit for the landfill itself is held jointly in the name of Clark Floyd Landfill LLC, Clark County, and Floyd County. Just, I don't know who's been to the landfill, not been to the landfill, just a very brief kind of primer about how it works out there. There's a scale house. The entrance is right off of State Road 60. Everything's weighed when it comes in. Top right is dumped in what's called the working face, compacted down in the bottom left, and covered up with dirt on a daily basis. On the environmental side of things, there's a number of different items that are permitted and tested and reported. So air, leachate, groundwater, stormwater. As you can imagine, there's just under a million different reports and tests that have to be done out there. So this is just a kind of a brief picture of what is overseen by IDEM and EPA out of the landfill. There's also there's a facility on site that is owned and operated by Hoosier Energy. It's been out there for about the last 10 years. Takes gas from the landfill and generates electricity, about 3.5 megawatts of electricity out there. And they buy the gas from the county and use it to power the three turbines that are out there. So it's a pretty neat project, nice environmental benefit at the landfill. Capacity of the landfill, gets about 1,200 tons per day. including, as I understand, most of what comes out of Sellersburg. There's IDEM will permit for up to 20 years, so the current IDEM permit goes through the year 2034. Within the current, what I'll call ongoing suite of projects, there will be capacity up through approximately 2043, and there's been future planning to take it up through 2065. And then closure and post-closure, without getting into too many details, IDEM requires you, once you close the landfill, you have to do what's called post-closure. So you have to maintain the landfill for 30 years after that. So that's where that 2085 date comes from. Same story is talking about 2085, but it's out there. As far as what's out there right now, so that's what the landfill currently looks like. I know it's hard to see there. You can probably see it a little better on your printout. There's a line kind of goes around this way that is the solid waste boundary. So that's where garbage can be placed. The facility itself, the property line comes down about like that. Just to give you an idea of where things are in relation to each other. I had mentioned a minute ago capacity through 2034, so that's within that is within that envelope that I just pointed out for solid waste boundary. To get to 2043, I'd say with the current infrastructure, so it's actually just adding on within that same envelope. Again, there's another little area that is included to get to 2043. The long-term plan I mentioned to get to 2065 includes a horizontal expansion of the landfill. And then talking about that current ongoing suite of projects. So this started back in about 2009, the overall project with a capital P. So we've gone through all the planning, the studies, permitting, permitted through IDEM. There's been environmental permits through DNR, IDEM, EPA, you can imagine, again, the list. The overall project is to put I'll explain what this means in a minute, a wall around the landfill. It's not a wall that you see above ground, but it's to put a wall around the landfill, completely enclose the solid waste boundary, and then that allows the landfill to expand up. So the east phase of that project was completed in 2012. Right now the schedule for the west phase is to build that in 2017. The project that we're here to talk to you about, the force main pump station, hopefully by the end of this year, and then there's ongoing work on the gas system. Just to give you a kind of an overall view of the dollars we're talking about $9 million to date, $15 million more to come total. So we're looking at $24, $25 million overall for the program. I mentioned environmental permitting a couple times. Just to give you an idea, all of the colored areas, and you can see they're all over the place. Those are all areas that are under the jurisdiction or permitting purview, if you will, of Corps of Engineers, IDEM, or DNR in regard to wetlands, waterways, floodways. So there are a lot of people watching what happens out there, a lot of reporting, a lot of monitoring that goes on. The barrier wall project I mentioned, yellow is the east phase. That's the piece that was completed in 2012. That's the side of the landfill that's currently being the operating area of the landfill right now. The west phase, the red line, is the piece that will be completed in 2017. I mentioned it's not a wall that you can see. This is really what's being built. This is the existing ground, if you will, if you're looking at a cross section. So this would be the landfill itself where the garbage is. This is what's being built. It's an impermeable 3 foot wide wall that is keyed down into rock. So this represents where rock is. It's about plus or minus, say, 30 feet underground at this location. So this wall is keyed down into rock. This keeps any liquid that's generated in the landfill, leachate, from coming down and getting out of the landfill. When the project's done, there's a series of wells on either side of the wall that you have to monitor on a regular basis to ensure that it's working. And then as a part of that, there's a series of different pipes that come in, but the one that's germane to what we're talking about is this pipe, the leachate collection pipe. So there will be basically a French drain. Think about a French drain on your house. There's a perforated pipe that will run around the entire perimeter of the landfill, just inside the wall, to collect leachate from the entire landfill. And then, as part of this project, it's all taken to one place on the Wilson Swiss Road side of the landfill, which kind of leads to what we're talking about now. So, for an overall view, this is Wilson Swiss Road, the landfill's over here. So that wall is constructed in this area with the leachate collection line inside it, and it's all of the leachate comes to this point right now. If you remember, if you've ever been out there, this is 20 plus years ago, this is the old entrance to the landfill, right where Wilson Swiss makes the bend, 60s out here, railroad tracks are right here. So all the leachate comes to this point. Right now there's an above ground tank out there that you can see, 40,000 gallon above ground tank. There's a number of other tanks around the landfill from past projects that will go away as a part of this, and all of the leachate from the landfill will be brought to this location. Currently what happens is the leachate is hauled out by trucks. So tanker trucks have to drive through here, load up, drive. Most of it goes to Jeffersonville. And that is the location that we're talking about for the pump station. And then the yellow line on here indicates the alignment for a force main that would come down and discharge into the existing Sunset Hills pump station that is owned and operated by the town of Sellersburg. So all the leachate will be collected at a new pump station, pumped along this route and into the Sellersburg system. So to give you a history on how we got to where we are right now, we first came to the council in 2011. Had a memo that went through a number of different items. Went through a number of different items, gave the background up to that point, the benefits to the town, benefits and the risks to the town. Talked about some of the technical information, some sampling that was done, little research that was done at some other municipalities that have a similar setup. Some of the numbers have changed. I mean, this was 5 years ago, so some of the specific numbers have changed. I think some of the big picture items are the same in regard to the benefits and the risks of the project. I'll just hit a couple of those. From a financial standpoint, there would be a fairly substantial tap fee that would come to the town. There would be a long-term customer at a pretty significant rate that would come into the town. There would be a reduction in the trucks, these tanker trucks that are running. There's times, I'm going to back up for a second. Leachate is any water that touches garbage. That's very simple. Anything that touches garbage in the landfill is considered leachate. Doesn't matter if it's a candy wrapper on the ground or garbage that's been buried for 30 or 40 years, it's still considered leachate. It's also, if you can imagine, the amount of leachate that's generated is also very dependent on how much it rains.
So the land's alive as well. We can generate a lot of trucks on the road. There's times when the landfill's hauling almost 24/7 out there. So you're talking about a significant number of tanker trucks running through that area that would be eliminated. You've also, and you've kind of gone down this path, and I'll talk about it in a second. You don't have any industrial customers right now. I'm assuming it hasn't changed recently. So this would allow you guys to have a framework to bring in some other industrial customers in the future. We also talked about some of the risks. It's going to be a new station, and additional force main that you're going to have in your system, you're going to have to take care of that. We talked a lot about what happens during wet weather. This eventually ends up at Perry Crossing, which eventually ends up at high school. There's obviously capacity issues there when it rains. So that's something that we've talked about and are aware of. Your NPDES permit at the time was did not allow for this, but that's since being taken care of. There's going to be some different loadings on your treatment plant. Specifically, ammonia is going to be the leachate will have higher levels of ammonia than typical municipal sewage. And then we talked about some things with pre-treatment metals and odor. A couple additional items that were mentioned. As far as that was in 2011. 2014, we came back to the council, provided another briefing. We talked about a number of items that I'll flip through here in just a second, about an updated NPDES permit. So your NPDES permit is what allows you to discharge from your treatment plant. And it is part of that permit has to do with what comes into the treatment plant. So that had to be updated in order to accept this industrial, what would be considered industrial waste. It has been updated as a part of this process, and I'll show you what that means here in a minute. At that 2014 briefing, we also, and it was early in the year in 2014, we talked at that point about doing a trial period so that you guys could see how it would react at your treatment plant. So for, I don't remember the exact amount of time, 30 days, 90 days, 6 months, okay. 6 months, they would take a couple of loads each day from, as it was being hauled out by a tanker truck, instead of taking it to the Jeffersonville dumping point, it was taken over to Sunset Hills to the point where the force main was discharged and was emptied into there, allowed to go through your system and see how it reacted at the treatment plant. As far as we know, and from talking to the town personnel, there were no issues at the treatment plant from doing that. I mentioned the NPDES permit. The details of what's written in here isn't super important. The point of this is these were all the items that were basically added as a result of accepting a industrial client. The ones highlighted up, bracketed in green here, and the ones down here were the items that were required during what they call the interim period. So that was during that time that leachate was being hauled by truck. And then these other items, here bracketed in red and down here, these were items that would be required once this turned into an ongoing, regular discharger into your system. At that time, we had done some sampling, I should say, and presented you guys with a list of sampling results versus what your ordinance allows. So this column right here is what is in your pretreatment ordinance. I believe it's chapter 54 listed down there. So those are the limits. These are listed in your ordinance as surcharges. So if you exceed those numbers, there's an additional charge, but they're not listed as limits ordinance limits in there as far as the pretreatment ordinance goes. These were the average results, and I believe this was from 2012 and 2013 sample. And we went through over here on the far right, it lists the comparison basically of the average test results to what's in your, it's in your permit. You can see most of these were extremely well below what was allowed in there. BOD was lower than what's in the in your ordinance for a surcharge. TSS was above, and that TSS was below, and ammonia was above, which is exactly what we would have expected to happen.
Mike, what's TSS?
Total suspended solids, BOD, biological oxygen demand.
Thanks.
We also went through at the time, and we listed what this is, and again, the details of each item are super important. These are all the new permit conditions that were required by IBM because of the industrial customer. We went through and put what we thought the cost to the town would be, and we worked with Kevin Wright pretty closely to come up with how many hours, and we had to make some assumptions. We picked some numbers as far as what we would call a billing rate to come up with a total cost to the county on an annual basis to meet these new requirements in your permit. And then we went through and looked at what would be required from a startup standpoint and then what would be required annually with those costs. And then at the bottom, took those costs and said, okay, what does that work out to per month? And it ended up being, we have $2,100 in there, so we'll say about $2,000 per month of additional cost to the town to meet the permit requirements to have an industrial user. We also went through and did some estimates based on the testing at the time to figure out what sort of dollars we were talking about coming into the town. So this is based on 2012 numbers. We looked at with a 6.5 million gallons, the rate that's in your ordinance and what that equates to, so about almost $24,000 a year. So about $2,000 per month. We also added in what we were assuming a surcharge for ammonia, so we just took what the average ammonia readings at the time were, the amount over the surcharge limit, and used the dollar amounts that were in there and came up with those numbers on a monthly basis, which is about $600 per month. So a total of $2,600 per month. We also discussed and had proposed that extra $2,000 per month that we calculated that it would cost you on the permit side of things be added in. So we were talking about somewhere $4,500 to $5,000 a month coming into the town to cover those items. We also went through and we talked briefly about the tax fee. We used what was in the ordinance. The ordinance is set up for a residential user, but because that's the only thing in there, it was the starting point. So when you go through and do the math on that, it's based on the single family equivalent is 300 gallons per day. So when you do the math, it ends up being $155,000 tax fee coming in. I think we probably want to discuss that because it's a different type of user. But this is a starting point for what we did, just the history of what we looked at. Since that time, we have the leachate at the landfill between hauling it to Sellersburg and Jeffersonville, updating their NPDES permit to accept this, has been tested pretty substantially over the last, 2 years, plus or minus. We've gone through and summarized the results of the testing on the three items that are listed in your ordinance as having surcharges. So BOD, your ordinance limit is up at, I believe it's 200, it's milligrams per liter, 200 milligrams per liter. The average reading over this time has been 64. You can see there was 1 month that it exceeded, and there would have been a surcharge for part of that. For TSS, same thing. The ordinance limit is 250. The average has been, not too bad, 168. You can see there's been 4 occasions over 2 years where that's been exceeded, and those would have surcharge associated with them. And then ammonia, again, as we expected, ammonia is high. Your ordinance limit, I believe, is 30. The average has been about 460. So this is that ammonia limit that we had included in the fee, just assuming that this was going to happen on an almost every month basis. One of the benefits that we talked about here is still valid and actually ties into what IDNR is going to talk about, because where this comes in is your system. It's at the far reach of your system that will be mixed in with residential sewage throughout its journey down to your treatment plant. So it dilutes these limits. The folks from DNR, they'll talk about the details, but they're looking at eliminating their treatment plant at Dean Lake and putting the pump station and pumping down to this pump station, so you would have all of the residential effluent that would be mixing with this also. So when we took and dumped this in the Sunset Hills pump station, that's a pretty good indicator of what it would be like in your system. And then I don't believe that the plant had any hiccups or noticed anything different. So that kind of gets to where we are right now as a update since the last update. Design of the pump station and force main is probably 95%. Land acquisition, and I'm going to flip way back here for a minute. So there are seven parcels to be acquired along the easements to be acquired along the route. We have made offers and received counter offers from all the folks. We had to move into condemnation with Jerry Speth down here. Unfortunately, the day before the condemnation hearing, Mr. Speth passed away. So we're trying to figure out what that means as far as moving forward. So property acquisition is substantially along. What we've been waiting to finalize the offers was to make sure that the Speth property got finalized. If something happened here, we had to change the alignment, it may have changed the rest of it, so we didn't get locked in buying easements that we didn't need. Council approval, obviously talking to you guys to make sure that we're still a go to get this constructed when it's done, just to make sure everybody understands what this means. When it's done, the town would then own and operate the pump station and force main, so make sure that the council still approves that. Last time we had, or at some point, we had sent you guys what we called a memorandum of understanding, is something to kind of lay out the terms of what we were talking about. It talks about the pumping rate. I know there was talk at some point over the last 5-6 years that you guys might use this project
as consider matching funds for a grant that you may look into. So that was a benefit to you guys. We listed in here the fact that during wet weather, you all had the right to actually go out to the pump station and turn it off. If you saw it within your system, you saw that, say, from Cherry Crossing was being inundated by I&I during the rain event, then you all could go out and shut down the pump station after landfill, let your system catch back up, and then turn it back on. Talk about the pre-treatment ordinance, providing sampling information, moving to the next phase. We talked about making provisions for aeration at the landfill, so if we start to see issues at the treatment plant, then there will be provisions at the landfill to probably install mixers in the tanks to provide aeration there. We listed a section in there, item 8, about the fees. Again, those are estimated. Flow meter, so as opposed to your normal residential connection where you're billing based on water rates, there would actually be a flow meter installed as a part of this, and you will bill based on exactly what is pumped. We listed the fact that it would become town property. We actually listed something about DNR in there, some other general language. So this was we actually just updated this with a couple of the numbers in item 2. That's why the date at the bottom is the new date. But you all had gotten this a number of years ago and had seen that as well. I'm not quite sure how this, from a legal standpoint, if this at this point really means much of anything. I think from your all's perspective, and I think from talking to Ken, you will need some sort of contract with the users, so with Clark Floyd Landfill LLC. They will be the ones paying the ongoing bills associated with this. So some sort of contract with them. I don't know if it starts with this, if it looks different than that. It's I guess a little unusual. You all don't have an example of one to follow. I'll say that. And it would be unusual to have a contract. Your ordinance lays out the rates, the surcharges, but I think because this was a little different, that there was some discussion with you guys about putting together some sort of contract with them, whether it lists the items that are in the MOU, different items, additional items. I don't know what that looks like. Schedule-wise, I mentioned we're trying to, I'll give you a big picture of why this matters, but we're trying to get this done by the end of the year, to get this built and operation by the end of the year. As a part of putting in that barrier wall that we talked about, the west phase of the barrier wall is going into a part of the landfill that has not had leachate collection in it historically. So we're anticipating that there's going to be high leachate levels. So when these folks come in and start putting in the wall and the pipes and they're digging, they're going to get leachate. By putting this in and getting the leachate system in, not the wall, but the leachate system in on that side, we can start to drain that down and have a steady place to pump this out of without having to have, you know, hundreds and hundreds of trucks on the road at an extremely substantial cost. So that's why we're pushing to get that done, get it in place. Early 2017, we would put in a leachate collection system on that side, and then later in 2017, once it's had a chance to equal out a little bit, come back and put the wall in the last part of the year. And then they'll talk about this in a minute, but the DNR piece for you guys to consider as well. We've made provisions in what we've done in the pump station and the force main and the sizing, basically, to include the flow from DNR.
it's almost inconsequential in the grand scheme of things that they have coming. They can talk some more about the details of it, but you can imagine if you've been up to Dean Wake and see what's up there, it's a pretty small operation as far as sanitary system goes, so the flow is very small. We just included that in what we're doing. So that's all I have on here. I'm happy to go into any more detail about any of these items or answering the questions you have. I know it's a lot to kind of the proverbial drinking from a fire hose, but I'm happy to go back over any of these items or answer any questions.
Okay. The first question that comes to my mind is capacities that were tested. I think Mike, if I recall correctly, what you said was that it was over like a 6-month period, is that right, Ken?
Yeah.
A couple loads a day?
Correct.
The capacity that we would be getting with a permanent system would be more than that, would it not?
It would be over a period of time. What we did is the tanker truck, how long did it take the tanker truck to empty? 15 minutes? 45 minutes? Okay. So we're bringing in, say, 5 to 7,000 gallons in a tanker truck and emptying it in about 45 minutes. Pretty intense slug going through the system. What's going to be coming from the system, the permanent system, the pumping rate is going to be 80 gallons per minute, and those, it's going to cycle on and off. From a design standpoint, it would come on every 15 minutes. So you would see 80 gallons per minute over a, say, a 5-minute period, and then shut off, and then come back on, and then shut off. So it's going to be slow and steady instead of a real big jump into the system like during the test. And we thought that was a pretty conservative way to look at it. If it didn't affect it with that big slug that sprang out over time, would be less consequential for the system.
Okay. How long has Jeff been accepting this reshaping this system?
It's been going there for, for years. When you all started?
No, prior to
that. Yeah, even before those guys. So it's been 15, 20 years. That they've been taking it. Well, I tell you what, the first tank went in, let's say it was about 2000, so 16 plus or minus years.
Where's it introduced into their system at?
Right now, is it on Cooper Lane still?
No, it's off of the funeral home there.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They moved it, it's just based on that.
Yeah. It's been in a couple different places. It actually, at some point, they were jumping into main or in front of the office over in the conductor park.
Okay.
And then it was on Cooper Lane and now it's over off the
okay.
Back.
Okay.
And we send, I guess I didn't mention this in here, we send you guys, the leachate gets tested twice a month. Twice a month. Grab samples are taken and sent to the lab for testing. That's where the updated testing results came from. You guys get those, and Jeff gets those as well.
Go ahead. You have a question?
So, I have a couple as well. But the thing we checked out from the 2011, the background support on page 5, where it says the next step to sign a memorandum of understanding. As I understand it, that never happened, correct?
Right, yeah. Right.
Okay.
I don't think, honestly, at the meeting, and I won't claim to remember every detail of the meeting from 2011. I don't think that we ever, I don't think it ever asked. I think we talked about it and then we started doing more testing. We never came back to say, hey, you got to sign this.
Okay. So you started acquiring property and even condemnation?
We haven't acquired anything yet.
Like going through.
We're in the plot, yes.
Alright. And then the other question that I had was towards the end, you were talking about when the west wall goes up, that right now that leachate is not collected, so that leachate is not actually being sent to Justin, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
I mean,
do you have any idea what that additional amount is going to be? Because we've tested with the collected part of the east side, I'm assuming?
Well, we tested, the initial testing that was done, find a good picture here. There is a, the initial testing that was done was actually a composite sample from different tanks around the landfill, so we wanted to make sure we weren't just picking one tank. There's actually, this section of the landfill had a construction and demolition expansion that was on top of the existing landfill, and there was a leachate collection put in, so there's a tank here, there's a tank here, there's another tank up here, there's a couple tanks down here, so that was a composite sample of all of those. And if you're looking at the the subsurface hydraulics, it's all connected together. So the leachate here isn't going to be substantially different than the leachate here.
I'm not talking about the difference. I'm talking about the amount.
Well, the pump station is designed for the amount of leachate that's anticipated to be generated over the entire landfill. So its size, assuming that all of this, that the wall is complete and that leachate is being collected around the entire landfill. The pumping rate is not, I mean, it is from a design standpoint, but the pump station can only pump what it's designed to pump. So it doesn't matter if more is being generated. It can't pump at a higher rate than what it's designed for.
I can kind of help fill in. The interesting thing about this is that there isn't a pre-treatment, okay? So basically what I'm going to do is a design, and that's why the memorandum is being for, okay? Because their flows and their testing that was marginal on what would come in, okay? We felt like we didn't need any pre-treatment. But where we never got was when we started talking about the contract. And once we started getting to the contract, and what's the reason there'll be a memorandum, okay, is I will not recommend that we just assume that in 2040, sellers are still doing okay. And we had talked about who would make moves, if it caused problems, if IDEM came down and said, hey, you're going to put a guy out there and he's going to test it every 3 hours. You know, those types of things have to be built into this because your ordinance it deals with industrial users, okay? But it also deals with the industrial users assuming there would be pre-treatment. So on the pre-treatment side of it, right now where they're at, okay, you know, solution to solution, if there is going to be a certain rate that can come to Bellersburg, and probably the solution will take care of it, and no pre-treatment is left. What we're going to recommend as this goes forward is defining what that flow is. And once we get a level of exceedance to that, then some sort of pre-treatment is going to take place. This is all new to you all. We've got a little smarter since this thing lasted 3 years. And basically what we're doing is looking at how you would treat for a surface water plant. Something simple, come in, do some balance, let it go through some chambers, speed it up, go sure. Down. You know, and because the three fears that we have is ammonia, metals. If IDEM was to come down and make us start really testing for metals, it gets very expensive on our end. And then, of course, odors. And, you know, we've already done the ozone generator for the high school lift station. You know, the discussion was, would there be any odor at the Sunset Hill site? But at least now we have something that we know will work. Okay? So, you know, when you all look at this, it seems like a lot to take in. It's just been spread out for so long. The point we're really at is we're back to, number one, doing what it is. Okay? And once we get over that hump, okay, there's a lot more to how are we going to do it. So, I mean, you know, because, you know, like the DNR portion of it is, it's very easy. The 2 weeks they're going to bring to it is probably going to help if they can bring more, but they're not. But, and they're only going to be 3 or 4 months a year anyway. Because of the closed down. The DNR portion is just kind of an add-on. The thing you concentrate on is the limits, what it's going to do to the plant, and what protection we will have, not just off the rate. Because trust me, the rate, if I had to sit here today and say the rate they're going to pay us is going to cover us for the future, I tell you all crazy, don't do it, all right? That's why the memorandum's got to be wrote to say, hey, there's limits here that we're going to go by. When these limits hit here, which is one of them is 12, okay? Some of it may be some metals go up or so on and so on. So where we have two things to protect ourselves. Number one, say, hey, shut this thing off. We'll see you get it fixed. Or number two, start having to do some pre-treatment. But we don't want the landfill to feel like that we're just going to lay that on there in, you know, 6 years or 7 years when expansion happens. They're all going to know, at this rate, you're good. When you start producing more than this, all right, there were expectations of AG. So, you know, we're still going to, because the ammonia has been coming in a lot higher.
Right.
I
think there's a...
And then the other thing is that we haven't tested for it since our new permit came out of the process.
On at the plant.
No, we want to know what you're going to think.
Yeah. We're not testing for phosphorus.
We need to start running some phosphorus in it just to make sure that we're not going to.
Sure.
Because the phosphorus element and what we're going to experience right now is going to be very expensive to remove.
Regardless of the landfill.
Regardless of the landfill, we just don't want to make it worse.
Right. I think there's a recognition that we can test this stuff until we're blue in the face.
Absolutely.
What's in it today is different than what's in it tomorrow. What if you look at the just the garbage that's out there? What's here and what's 100 feet away is completely different. We tried to. I don't think this was our intention in 2011, but we've been testing this for a long time, so we have a general idea, a better idea than just taking one test. We have, you know, a couple dozen tests at least at this point. I think there's a recognition that number one, what's coming out of there is going to vary. There's going to be ups and downs that will come down. And number two, that it could vary to the point where some other things have to be done on this end to make sure that it doesn't affect you on that end. I don't think it's going to be, and Ken alluded to this, in March it's fine, and oh my gosh, in April everything got shut down. I think it's going to be, you're going to see trends as far as what's happening. And I don't think that there's any, I don't think there's any hesitancy, I mean, assuming that it's reasonable and what's in your ordinance and within your, what's kind of out there now to account for that moving forward. I think that's a very reasonable request.
Well, I guess my question is, based upon this little discussion here, is what kind of protection do we have, either financial or what type of obligation to protect our system will be granted to us? And Mike, you said it could change, you know, 6 months from now. Well, what about 2 years from now?
You're going to have an ongoing, long-term contract that lays these items out. Mm-hmm. I think what Ken wants to say is if this happens, this is what you have to do. If this happens, this is what you have to do.
You don't want it to be, your ordinance is set up to where it's just a money game.
Right.
Right.
Okay, where if you don't need it, you just pay it more. Okay? We don't want it set up that way. We want our limits set up to where, hey, this is what we can take without upsetting our system, or what we believe we can take without upsetting our system. And that involves a lot of the tests, okay, that are in your ordinance, plus flow, how much you're giving to it on time. Because, you know, an 80-gallon minute at trade, when you do assume it's only going to run 15 minutes an hour, okay? But what if all of a sudden you have a year when it's raining every day and they've expanded or whatever it may be, okay? Mm-hmm. And now we're running 80 gallons a minute every hour. I mean, mm-hmm. full hour. You know, that's going to put a lot more into it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, there's still some variables out there, but we never really got to the point where we were going to start crafting the protection part. Because, you know, you talk to numerous operators that have to take leachate and stuff like that, you know, you just get a very mix of stuff. Because we don't do industrial, okay, it probably what I'm glad we've had the extra time.
Yeah, the two I've seen we visited, I remember these visits. Right. I didn't go, but I remember Georgetown, Kentucky, and Lexington. And I guess Georgetown addresses the Toyota plant that's down there, and that's something that issues the Toyota plant. I guess, here's the question. This is sort of the elephant in the room. If we say no, how's the situation going to be handled?
That's a great question. I'm not...
That's the elephant in the room.
I hear exactly what you're saying. I can tell you back in when this started, we looked at a number of different options, and just to do due diligence. Looked at going to Henryville. Looked at I just blank on the subdivision on the other side of 60. Has a little package plant down there.
Southern Hill.
Southern Hill. And they weren't, I mean, they came out here, right?
Memphis.
And it was, just ridiculous. This is the way that we packed the plan, couldn't accept it. I would say the worst case scenario at this point is it continues being called. And it's going to get worse as far as the number of trucks and how much it's being called. And that's the worst case I would say at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the direct memorandum of understanding? Is that you all just drafted, or the Colby Kinsman drafted the memorandum?
I think so. I mean, we have the file, so I'm assuming that we did. Again, it's been quite a while ago. I'm not sure if Jake, if we talked to you at the time or.
Yeah, I don't even remember. It's been so long ago.
I don't know if the county attorney at the time had anything to do with it. I think it was an attempt to get some of the things that you can't talk about when we talk about, get some of those things on a piece of paper so that everybody can see them. You know, we come and stand here and talk to you guys, there's a lot of stuff said, and then the meeting's over and half of that goes away. So trying to get some of those things in here. And again, like I said before, I don't know if this is the format that will... that this would need to take, and if it would, who the parties need to be, if the landfill operator is the one paying the ongoing bills, and with Clark County, and so some of those legal issues would have to be figured out and have to have Jake.
Well, what are you all recommending right now? I set up on this memorandum that states the county. Looks like the county would be putting the bill yet.
Well, the county is paying to design, install, land acquisition. They're paying for all of the upfront costs to get this equipment.
Okay.
And then at that point, it would be turned over to the town. The town would operate like a normal pump station. And at that point, there would be a contract with the landfill operator to pay for the flow and the surcharges and whatever else was associated with that.
Along that discussion, when you say the county, what's Floyd County's skin in the game is?
That's another good question.
We got a commissioner here. Let's hear from the commissioner.
His answer is going to be the same. Go ahead.
You know, coming into it on the end of this, it's been very convoluted as to what their skin in the game is. I think right now it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. They don't deal much with it. They don't have any, very little discussions to take part with about the landfill. They do get their portion of and that's about it. So they're there with an open hand to take the money, but when it comes to discussion to solve issues, that's why we're here today.
Does their garbage come up here?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Does
New Albany? I don't know that would have to be whoever's hauling that, someone that's going to establish that.
That's a negotiated rate. The host is a negotiated rate. They're a signature on the operating agreement with the LLC. They are a signature on the operating permit with IDOT. So from a practical standpoint, that's their involvement. And that's historically, I've been involved with landfill for 20 years, and the 20 years before that, from what I'm told, they've basically had very little to do with the landfill other than those two things.
Questions?
The just, I know this is just a direct, so it's not necessarily the case, but it's so number three, where it says the county would give town permission to designate any capital funds used for design or construction of this project. Is that meaning the easement? Is that what that's talking about, or is that talking about something else?
No, that means the, and this was something that was discussed way at the beginning, that if the town applied for a grant somehow associated with wastewater and had to come up with matching funds, that the county would allow you all to use the money that they put into this as matching funds. And there wouldn't be any change of dollars put on paper to say, hey, we put in $1 million in the system. That's our match for this grant. And I don't remember where that came from. I know it was talked about and it was thrown in there to make sure that. Did you come up with that
angle? Okay. Another one that would work.
Nice thought. That sounded like nice thought.
I mean, if I may speak.
Yeah.
I mean, where we're at, where we were a couple of years ago. Okay. So.
Okay. We had all forgotten about this.
Yeah.
Until.
So I mean, you know, basically, with from what I've heard from some, you know, having a second review, we've done this phosphorus study, which I went ahead and had to do the whole plan just to see how operations were going for efficiency, because we knew the phosphorus was going to cost so much more in sludge. You know, again, your first step is do we want to accept it, okay? But then what I would recommend after that is for us to go back and start looking at, you know, number one, your ordinance is 1992.
Yeah, that was one of my
okay.
thoughts.
Okay, so we need to see how that ordinance compares to us today. I mean, that's quite a year ago. Then we also need to look at some of these items that are not permitted through IDEA, okay? And just what limits do we want to put on it? Because the memorandum will be nice, but basically we're going to be rewriting the ordinance
yes.
so that it's fixed three times. And I would assume by doing it by the ordinance, then it wouldn't matter. Because the other fear, and I'm laying all my cards out, I'm sorry. The other fear was is by being with the operator instead of being a memorandum with the county, okay? You know, the operator can change.
Sure.
So I mean, you know, there's going to be that part where it's going to have to be the county.
Sure.
And then what the county did with the operator, you know.
And maybe that's, and you know, I won't point out that we did that on purpose, but maybe that's why the MOU was with the county. And then the you know, the day-to-day contract, if you will be with the operator. If they're operating, they're paying the bill. If they're not operating, they're not paying the bill. But the framework is still there in place to govern these different things that he's talking about.
So what kind of time frame could if they were to approve to move into a little more testing and recreating of the ordinances to shore up more of this is what we're going to do.
So phosphorus, adding phosphorus?
Well, I mean it's 2 months going to be too long, 3 months going to be too long.
I guess from my perspective, if you guys are amenable to say, we'll take it, we've got to work out the details, then we can move forward with the rest of the actual property acquisition, the bidding, moving to that.
You may not
want to
take
our view.
That's
a fair statement.
So, I mean, what we come up with may not be valid. I mean, you may not have paid for it.
Sure.
So, you know, as far as recommending the van to go ahead and let this thing go, if you can get, you get the easement that you're over it. Because, like I said before, until we got an agreement with that, we're all good companies to each other.
Yeah, I would want to be ensure that the town's best interests are protected.
Mm-hmm. You know, absolutely.
That, whether regarding the limits that is established, we definitely need a new ordinance, or an updated ordinance to address all this. You know, what are the guarantees of protection for the town and our system?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
That's basically what we're going to have to come up with. Yeah. And that doesn't happen quickly, unfortunately. So, you know, we could consensus here to continue to work on this thing, But until, you know, you come up with an official vote at a town council meeting, you have nothing.
Oh, I'm happy. Yeah, I mean, you guys can't do anything.
So, I mean, it's going to be up to the county and you know, to decide what they want to do. What step they want to take.
Sure, to add in, if there's some other parameters that need tested, that's a phone call to add into the testing. I mean, that's easy. We can give test results until the cows come home.
Yeah.
And test for any parameter that's needed. And that was, I brought this back up just to show these were this is what's listed in your ordinance. In your current pretreatment ordinance. And I know I said this before, but just to reiterate, what was found before were well below what's allowed in your ordinance out there. But I understand what Ken's saying. There may be some other things that aren't included.
Well, in your look at all the blank ones that had no
right. Right. So these are, and the reason that is we were testing for a significant, or you know, almost twice the number of items that you all had listed in there. So we have lots of test results over the last 2 years that are expanded beyond just what you guys are looking at. We've actually shared with you guys, and we're more than happy to add. If there's other parameters that need to be added in there moving forward, that's even we can certainly do that.
Is there a projection that the dumping fees may go up out of the dump?
The way that the agreement, and Bob can speak to this, but the way the franchise agreement is set up is there's a cap on what they're allowed to charge, but they have the ability from a business standpoint to negotiate with different customers, bigger users, are obviously going to get a lower fee, mm-hmm. smaller using the bigger fee, but it's capped in the franchise agreement. And there's an escalator over time that cap moves up slowly over time. But the county doesn't control the rate that's
okay.
charged out there directly. They control the max. Only stress. About whether the fees were going up at the landfill.
Any projection of the fees about the need for them to go up.
Yeah.
As more waste is accepted, you know, the work intensity gets up.
Yeah. But we control the gate, we control the fees charged to municipalities, and, you know, as we go forward, we can negotiate that and determine just what they might be. You know, if it makes sense, it could actually be lower than what it is now, for example. So. I think that would be in the mix of things that we would talk about if the facility died.
Okay. All right.
So, if I was to come to the next council meeting and request to expand my phosphorus to include the look at BJ, I'm still going to have time. I mean, it's 2 months, but I still think it needs 2 months.
You mean to get additional test results
through the program? You'll take what we have, probably do some private checks, and you know, come up and say, hey, we want them.
You can have as much.
I know. Just so that samples are taken actually by us a couple times. And go through this ordinance, I mean, I guess would be. The question that I have, because again, even if we agreed on it, until we put something down, and you're going to ask somebody what limits we want, we still got some work to do.
Yeah.
I'd also like to see Lori taking that. I know that Kevin is ensuring. I'd like to see.
Lori is already starting to get into it.
I would like to know municipalities that are similar to ours that, like you were saying, that don't take industrial waste currently that do accept this kind of thing. I know it might be hard to find a clear example, but it would be helpful to not have to completely reinvent the wheel.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we can certainly help.
There was a list we had before. I mean, Georgetown was the only one with active warning itself.
Okay. Why don't we go ahead and include the DNR proposal in here right now? Good point. to see what your part of this this whole conversation is.
Sure. And again, my name is Dan Burns. I'm an assistant state forester with DNR Division of Forestry. What's that?
What's that?
But glad to have a chance to be here. Our discussions on this date back quite a ways, back to 2011, 2012, and good to hear some of the discussions I'm further in length tonight too with some of what's going on. And obviously with Dean Lake, we have a small sewage treatment plant on site. We're primarily in the recreation business, not wastewater management business. So when we have an opportunity as Department of Natural Resources or some of our facilities where we can connect to municipal systems, then something that makes sense for us and allows us to concentrate on recreation rather than some of the other kinds of things. This is a copy of the letter that was sent. And the only thing different on this is the map that was sent earlier. This is a different map, only that I showed another routing of potential routing lines on that. And that's on this as well.
Mike, could you put that light switch back on?
Yeah. Please?
Thank you.
So you're familiar with Dean Lake. It's a pretty good sized recreation facility for the area. We probably have somewhere around 250,000 visitors a year. Primarily camping sites with the beach and then our own office facilities and that sort of thing. Our plant there is a bit of an aging plant. We maintain it pretty well. We are currently contracted with Aqua of Indiana that manages the plant rather than our own staffing. And that's worked out very, very well for us. So we maintain the plant pretty well. We maintain our internal infrastructure. But when this came up back in 2011, the discussion of maybe extending out to the landfill, then we became involved in the discussions, would we be interested perhaps in connecting the Dean Lake to that? And we would, because we're looking at how to get out of the waste management business on the own property. Obviously, if it does not extend to the landfill, then doesn't make any sense for us to do anything because there's no way we can fund and connect all the way into some sort of system. So we're kind of holding back in a way, and it really depends on what happens with the landfill. If it doesn't happen where the landfill connects and we can connect, we'll just continue to manage our wastewater system, upgrade and improve where we need to. But hopefully something can be worked out in this way. A little bit different as far as how we have suggested this may operate. We've had some good discussions over time with Ken and with Mike as well from an engineering standpoint. Obviously, if this went forward, DNR could look at doing some contracting out and engineering of it. But I think the way we would prefer to do it is just make it work out an arrangement and agreement with Sellersburg to take care of the design, construction, and all of that connections, and then bill us for that. And we actually have to pay for it. And part of that is, I think, it helps insurance on your end that what's designed is something that helps meet your needs. And actually, I think you can probably do things faster than we can as a state. So it makes some sense that way. So our primary interest is that connectivity. And then once it's connected, we basically will decommission our plant and pull that out of there, return it more to the natural state. A second area of interest, what would happen, well, let me show you a little bit on the map here. And in the map that's on your letter there, it shows where the Dean treatment plant currently is. And the red line is the line that was put together when this was initially proposed back in 2012 and presented to Sellersburg. And that followed basically a routing of a port main along the road and then down to the county landfill property across over to the pumping station that was discussed today. Obviously, most of that is along the county right of way or along the county road and there's some private right of way as well. The yellow line on that goes just across currently owned property DNR owns. Wouldn't require any type of land acquisitions, just the granting of an easement for that utility. And then tying into the county landfill property and can over. So there's a couple of different routes and those things. If an agreement is made, that the routing of that would be determined at that time. The secondary issue, beyond where our current sewage treatment plant is, we have a fair amount of infrastructure, some lift station and pumping stations by the shower houses and the beach house, and that we maintain. We would be interested in a discussion with Sellersburg on a maintenance agreement of that infrastructure. That's really secondary to this request. I don't know what the interest would be. I mentioned that a little bit to Ken, and he said, well, we've talked about it. So that's really secondary to something I think we would like to have a discussion about should this go forward. I was encouraged to hear, and again, kind of reinforces what I had heard back a few years ago, and Ken mentioning today, that the Dean Lake part, or DNR part, is pretty easy. And the effluent from ours basically being household waste is pretty easy and may actually be a benefit to the flow coming from the landfill. So I was encouraged about that. But I don't have much in the way of technical details on this, and I want to present it to the town. We hope that this is something that can be moved forward. We basically have sat on this because we can't do anything unless something happens with the landfill. So we have not requested the funds to actually do this. Our DNR as a whole is aware of this request and the interest in doing it, and they're fully supportive of it. So I don't think the acquisition of the funds will be a major issue. But again, this is something that's not going to happen for a while. With the landfill, we can't even request money from them. Mm-hmm. But we will do that as soon as...
Of course, I would assume that, you know, if we agreed to do this at the landfill and created a system to take that in, the DNR portion could be added at some point after that, correct?
Right, absolutely. Yeah. Because the thing was, Mike has said, they were designed their end so that it could tap in.
Okay. Yeah, it's set up as designed for them to plug right in.
Okay. Anybody have any questions for DNR? Okay.
Crazy. Thanks. Again, if anything, any follow-up questions, just let me know.
Okay. Thank you.
I apologize. I did not. I totally blanked on this. This is actually updated. The table that was in the presentation.
Yeah.
Updated with the last couple of years of test results. And it really just reinforces what we were talking about. If you look at the second column, well, the parameters on the left, second column over gives the limits that are currently in your ordinance. The fourth column over shows what the average results have been, including all of the last couple of years' worth of results. And then the far right shows the comparison between the two. We've talked about ammonia, obviously that's above, but the other items, again, are pretty substantially below what's in your current ordinance. And that does not, as Kim mentioned, that does not include phosphorus in there, but it does include some of the different metals.
There's a lot of discussion. I see mercury on here. I turned on the TV, interviewed mercury. And is Jeff showing any signs of mercury in their system?
Not that we've been made aware of. If they are, they apparently don't think it's from the landfill that we have been in contact with.
Okay.
I haven't heard that they are. And I don't know if our mercury, you know, if that's below detectable or if it's
And Ken, this ammonia issue, would our odor treatment facility handle something industrial?
The dilution again, the whole secret, the whole secret of this is that it's going to dilute as it goes through the system. And we don't, even with what they were putting in, we didn't see anything move up the scale at the plant. When they were dumping that fast, the ammonia is a concern. The ammonia metals and the smell are the three things we want to concentrate on more. And plus getting a list of what is acceptable at the landfill as far as medical, with some of these larger kinds of
You know, that ammonia odor, I noticed on that one chart where the line goes right, that's Sunset Hill subdivision there, it goes right along the edge of, correct?
Correct, goes along the back edge of the
subdivision.
Yeah. That's a closed system.
Right. The pump station, the lift station would be the one, the initial lift station, and then it would go to Sunset Hills.
The pump station would be, the new one would be built on the landfill.
Right.
And then it would discharge into the existing one that's at Sunset Hill right now. So when you come into the subdivision, right, in the very back right corner.
Do we have any odor problems out of that substation there?
Not at that one there. We do have some actually very coughing. But its location doesn't seem to be bothering. The first thing was...
I went ferry crossing. Where's that at?
From the golf course right down where the creek...
Yes.
There's their big barn back there.
Right.
Farm.
Yeah, got it.
So, but the sizing of the ozone for way out there not having the flow would be considerable less. You'd be in the $40,000-$50,000 range if we had to attack the motor through there.
Yeah, and I think that's one of those parameters that we understand is an unknown that needs to be addressed in the agreement.
You know, these other systems we talked to, and I guess we could find that out if we revisit them. The length of time that this leachate would spend in a system versus the difference between when you dump it somewhere. But now, I mean, it's a good long run from out there to our plant. And I just wonder if that needs to be factored in or the damage it could cause, if any. I don't know.
That's where the big consideration of the flow amount comes in. Where are we going to get our limit? It's going to be tough to come to a number. And we're going to be within 70-80% right and 20% gas. I mean, there's no way we're going to go under the limit.
That's right.
What is it that it is? But that's one of the parameters that we want to try to narrow down. Because, I mean, with less volume coming through at a time, if it's down to 40 gallons a minute, 60 gallons a minute, okay, it's definitely going to be received by the system through dilution a lot better than 80 gallons a minute, for 24 hours a minute.
If you read the that section there about Georgetown, they were reluctant at first, which I don't understand. Wasn't a problem. They checked for influence toxicity annually, never failed a test. They indicated Williamstown, Kentucky, has been handling leachate for many years, and it has not been an issue. So we're not. I don't think we're doing anything here that it hasn't been done before. It's just hasn't been done before. So it's where I understand. So
yeah,
makes you nervous. I understand.
It's just like SROC burning hazardous waste.
For the record, there's nothing hazardous associated
with it. I'm aware of that. But that's how it gets written in the paper.
And that's why I said, for the record, there's nothing hazardous out there.
Okay, any other questions?
No, I think it wouldn't be a bad idea to follow up with Georgetown again, since it's been 4.5 years, just to see if they have any additional information. But again, they got the Toyota plant, and we don't have any other. And I would like to know if there's one, a comparison with at least one, preferably two or three municipalities that are more similar to us. And if, even if it means you have to travel a little bit to go to them, or, you know, talking on the phone is fine, but if you have to go travel with them, I'm open to that.
Yeah, so we'll help. We'll work with you and help get a couple spots identified and whether it's stopping that or whatever we need to do and get that info.
Okay. Any other questions? Jake?
I would just request that one of you all move to enter into the record all of the presentations, handouts we received. I can attach to the notes.
Okay.
I'm motion that all handouts tonight be entered into the formal records for tonight's
meeting. And for the record, that is the briefing slide, copy of the briefing slides, the copy of the memorandum of understanding, the handout that contains the technical information, Town of Sellersburg, dated December 6, 2011, and a letter from the DNR dated April 13, 2016. Did I miss anything?
No.
Oh, real quick, I didn't make this before. I don't know if Brian or Lisa or Father Matt wants to add anything to the discussion.
Something I really would like to know, but just for the people of Clark County, what skin in the game does Floyd County have in this landfill? As far as operating costs?
$4,000 question. Yeah. I think, like I said, they're on all the contracts that are signed, but they've been, what I would see, and this is probably not the right term, but they've kind of been a silent partner. They've just kind of been there. They haven't been involved in any discussions, good or bad, but they're very welcome to receive their
right.
And I do believe they are on the hook for foreclosure if something would happen, and we would not, we'd come short in a foreclosure fund, and the closure fund, the foreclosure. I do believe that they would have skin in the game at that
point.
That's actually a pretty big skin.
Yeah, it just seems to me that any cost the county, Clark County has, ought to be an equal share by Clark County.
Well, and I don't disagree with you. I think right now we've been the only ones that have really kind of, and I wouldn't say taken the lead because I don't even know that that's the right term. I think we've been very involved. We've had numerous discussions with Mr. Lee. It's a constant back and forth between us sharing communications, and, you know, Floyd County has just been very slow to step up to the plate being involved.
Okay. All right.
It's probably more of a legal answer than anything, but what we've been told is they have. If there was an issue out there, an environmental issue, they are, whether they want to be or not, they're on it.
Okay. Is there an interlocal agreement between Floyd County and Clark County?
We're the owners of the property. We're joint owners of the property, so I don't necessarily know what type of agreement.
We're joint owners of the property, and also their signatures on the permit.
Yes, signatures.
Teller Springs and Host Raker. Clark County is the only municipality that signed off on the two series of bonds to help, you know, expand and contain the leakage.
Jake, anything else you'd like to add from a legal point of view?
No, sir. We'll just really just wait for Ken to address the town council, move forward with some additional testing, go back and review our ordinances, and then maybe reevaluate this here in a couple months.
Any further questions from the council members?
The only thing that I'll add, Mr. Rose, is if anybody is interested, I'm not going to volunteer Mr. Lee's time, but he's been very cordial to us to go out there to kind of take a look and just kind of get a feel for what you're dealing with. I know you probably drive by every day, but you know, I would be safe to assume that he would more than welcome you out here to kind of take a look at the operation. So we would advise you if you either individually or as a group.
Yeah.
It's
easy to say 500 acres on
a little
slide, but
take it
out there.
Last time I got there, my granddaughter was with me. She said it's
stone. And then, Mr. Lee, I'm also, sir, you also are the owner and the operator of Everdeck, right?
I'm the owner of
Everdeck, sir. And they do business in Indiana or in Kentucky?
Oh.
And
Custer.
Okay.
Number means stuff.
I just didn't want to have a hard time with George Bowles, is all I'm saying.
Any other questions, comments? Yes, sir.
Can we make comments?
Sure, go ahead.
Appreciate it. The thing I would like you guys to check into, and this is just my suggestion as new year celebrate, is plant capacity in the future. Okay? Because you're talking about adding on DNR, which is minimal. If they expand, they've got land, they expand their plant sites and everything out there, so that could generate more. If you never did say max capacity of the pump, what it could pump, I would like to know what that is, because by the time they turn it up, we catch it, it'll be too late. Okay? So you've got capacity of 80 gallons a minute. They're talking about running 15 minutes in a rain event. I know they could be running more than that. They could be running it more than 24 hours. They could beef it up to, what, 120? How many gallons can you pump through that rain?
Yeah, I think Ken mentioned that. The
capacity of the pump is 80 gallons.
That's 80 gallons.
Yeah, it can't pump more than that. I was looking for the plant capacity. Is it 2.3 MGD? So the plant capacity is 2.3 million gallons per day. We're talking about pumping 80 gallons per minute, which ends up being about 0.01 plus or minus 10 MGD.
So another thing I'm looking at too is what we're adding there is all the homes that are coming in with the infrastructure. The bridge coming in, all the new homes being built. So I'm looking at future of plant expansion. As a taxpayer, I'd like to know how that's being handled with all this too. So it's just something I also want you all to think about. Make sure you think it through. I think it's a good thing if we can help out this way. I don't want to come off saying it's a bad thing. I think it helped DNR out a lot, so. All right. But yeah. I just want to make sure all the T's are crossed, the I's dotted for us citizens, and we elected you guys in, so I hope you do your due diligence.
It's a little less than half of a percent of the capacity out there.
Right. Still at.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, one other question I thought. How many drugs do you take to Jeffersonville eventually?
I guess it depends. What's the kind of
average?
Depends on the construction capacity.
So up to 5 a day.
Okay. Anyone else? Get a motion for adjournment.
I motion to enter into the record today. I'm not sure if we need to do anything else on the match.
Try to take a vote.
All right. We named what needs to be entered into the record, and it's made a motion by Martini. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Brad. All in favor? All right. Opposed? Okay.
Yeah, motion to adjourn.
Yeah.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Okay, motion by Brad, you have a second, say my Martina. Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Meeting adjourned at 7:33. Oh, yeah.
Copy with what you guys got back to those.
Yeah.